high time now for our tune of the week.
Come on, let's go.
This is the Media Industry Guru Show, the show that exposes you to entertainment, music, film, TV, and tech.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Hey, Natalie, welcome to the Media Industry Guru Podcast. Very excited to have you on and looking forward to hearing all things about you in the music industry and your entrepreneurial mindset.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So to get started, what got you passionate about working in the music industry versus other areas of entertainment and media?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. I ended up falling into it. I didn't plan on taking the management route. Originally, I was an artist myself, and then I did tour management. I've always been in the industry to some degree. Prior to getting into music, I was a washed-up child actor. So I always had a seat in the entertainment industry to some extent. But overall, I was with a friend of mine who's now one of my clients, and we were chatting at the time, and she was dealing with just her own, you know, disappointments with management teams she had in the past. Sure. And we were just chatting about just problems that she was facing as an artist, and, you know, I was just pitching ideas at the time, and this is when I stopped doing music for myself, and I had a business that had nothing to do with music, but was definitely in a business mind space. Mm-hmm. And she was just kind of telling me, you know, the problems she had, and was like, why don't you do management? You would do such a great job at this. Like, I feel like you have all the skill sets. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, maybe. And then a week later, I couldn't shake the idea. And so I called her and I was like, hey, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to manage. I'm just going to like see where this goes. And then she was like, well, do you want to manage me? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so I fell into it. And then from there on out, it kind of went from 1 to 3 to 4. Wow. Right now, I'm kind of at my capacity. I feel like anybody who can do more than 3, I question them, because it's a lot. You're doing it for, you know, your artists, and it's not just one thing. So
it's a lot. You'll need to hire somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So overall, that's kind of how I fell into management. I didn't know that was something I wanted to do.
Sure.
But it's funny because now as I'm here, it's like, you know, it makes sense and it works out. So yeah.
And being in LA, you grew up in LA, is that correct?
I grew up in Bakersfield originally, but because I was doing commercials when I was young, I was always going back and forth between there and LA. So LA is home to me. I currently reside in Portland, Oregon. So okay. Right now I do the back and forth. So my sky miles is wonderful.
So what's the music scene out in Portland versus LA? And what are some of the similarities and what are some of the contrasts, especially working with your clientele?
Yeah, it's a really good question. All my clients are in LA besides one's in Iceland. I don't have clients in Portland. I'm more here for my partner. That's kind of what brought me out to Portland. But as I've been here and I've been curious of what the music scene feels like and what it is and where it's at, it's very, very different. And I know people might hate me for it, but I feel like it's very do it yourself. There you go.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit more of what I get a sense of in Portland and in LA. I think because it's so big and it's a big city and a lot of people go there for music, you have a little bit of a different caliber of talent. Not that there's not talented people in Portland. I just think there's a different culture around how serious people take it. And I think that's with, you know, any big major cities. I haven't found anybody in Portland that I'm like, oh my gosh, you're incredible. But I also don't go out to events and seek it because for me, when I'm home in Portland, I'm, you know, tucked away in my office working. I'm not to events or, you know, shows to like scout people. And I'm at full capacity. So, you know, for me, I probably just have a different lens as I'm here. But I have no doubt that there's probably really talented people in Portland. I don't think I really go out and look for it.
Yeah.
So I feel like I can't say too much because I don't, you know, want to shit on Portland and the talent here. You know, it's probably here. I just don't feel like I have much to really say.
You're more on the back end working with the clients, and they're kind of on the front lines on the fire, basically performing out there. So you don't get to see the full 360 picture, but no, it's interesting perspective. So working as a manager, I'm assuming I know, but listeners might not know, it's not that typical 9-to-5 structure, right? You're probably getting client emails, calls, maybe even texts at midnight, late in the hour, or things last minute they're maybe want some advice on, right?
It's very different. Sometimes you're putting on your business development hat, and sometimes you're being a therapist for the day. I feel like it just changes. Yeah. I mean, my clients are wonderful, and they have such a strong work ethic. And so for me, it's a lot of collaboration. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm very close with my clients. And so for me, it's friendship first. And that's kind of how it felt from mm-hmm. each person signed on. But overall, I feel like we don't have boundaries, but like in the best way possible. I don't know if you can really say that, but you know, sometimes we'll be working late and we're trying to get something done. And overall, it's like, hey, you know, we're on the phone talking about something, or like, hey, I got this email in, like, what do you think about it? There's no rules. And at the same time, I feel like it is important. I think every manager tries to find that balance of boundaries mm-hmm. where you still have your personal life, but it's hard, you know, this business, like sometimes you have things come in and it has to get taken care of and in there. But, overall, I feel like that's why it's so crucial of like who you sign it. Like I'm so picky with who I bring on, because I feel like if you aren't, you're going to be in a like not great relationship, because you're going to be working with a partner. Like I joke about it. It really is like a marriage in a way.
It is kind of like a marriage. Yeah. You're always dealing with them every single day, maybe even late in the hour. So that's a good segue question. Like besides kind of like building that friendship, what other qualities or traits do you look for when signing new talent onto your roster?
For me, if I'm considering anybody that I'm going to be managing, I want to, well, one, obviously the talent, right? Like you have to feel very drawn to them and really excited about what they're doing.
Sure.
Second of all, I feel like I am very, I want to say like I'm very sus about the individuals I bring on. And what I mean by that is like, I really want to know, like, do you have a work ethic? Do you have a drive? Are you going to be working hard? Because for me, if I'm working harder than my artist, then that's a problem. Because at the end of the day, it's like a manager is there to manage your opportunities. Yes, like I'm happy to make stuff happen that I can in my means. But at the end of the day, it's like you got to want it. Like you got to want to make it happen. And so I think overall, work ethic is a huge thing for me. I don't work with lazy people. And if I do, then it doesn't last long and they get cut. But that's just more of, for me, it's like, hey, this is a partnership. We're a team. Like we both have responsibilities in our job description, and like you have to kind of own that. And communication. I feel like if you have an artist that doesn't communicate with you, I mean, how are you going to make things work? You know? So, So I'm like, it's like a relationship. You want to, you know, you want to trust them. You want to communicate, you know, all the things that, you know, matter. So.
Yeah. It's like friendship, networking, that's a relationship and a team effort. Dating's a team effort, but also management is a team effort. So you got to like hold the fort down, but they got to also hold the fort down as well. So I'm kind of curious to hear your perspective on this as well with your clientele. Like if you personally consult them and you give them advice, but what if they don't want to go that route? I'm sure that's happened in your career where they don't want to listen to your advice, but you think it's a good opportunity. It turns out to be a good opportunity. They end up listening to you. Has that happened?
Oh, 100%. I think that's the thing that you have to kind of go into really knowing as a manager is you can advise, but you can't make someone make a decision. Because at the end of the day, I think managers always have to put this in perspective, and I can only speak for myself, but yes, I can counsel, I can guide them of what I think is best, but at the end of the day, it's their career. And I feel like I want my artists to always have the freedom and the last say of what they want. Even if I don't agree, I will always vocalize that, but I am going to still support them and what they think is best for them. Yeah. And that sometimes is painful. And sometimes you're like, I don't want you to do this. But you know what? It's like trusting them as well. And if it doesn't go well, then, you know, it's feedback, right? They learn from it. You learn from it. If it goes well, then you were wrong. And you're like, great, you know what? I was wrong on this. Note it. Taking that information for the next decision that we have to make together. I think overall, it's like, you can only do so much. And I think overall, you have to realize, like, yes, it's a partnership, but they are still your client. And this is also their career. And if they're not happy about something, you know, you have to be sensitive to that too. So yes, there's been moments for sure when I don't agree with something, but I think it's compromise. Like you, again, it goes back to that relationship dynamic of like really hearing your artist. And even if you don't agree, you vocalize that and you be honest, like there needs to be transparency and there has to be reasons of why you're saying no, but also if they still don't see eye to eye with you, being able to compromise and being like, okay, I don't agree, but I'm going to support you because, you know, I believe in you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and everything works out the way it needs to. Like, I'm a big believer of like everything happens for a reason. So that kind of gives me a little bit of peace in my anxiety when I don't have control over a situation. So,
yeah, no, that's a good token to learn. And for aspiring managers, like compromise with clients is key to success. And you have a whole roster of really great clientele based in LA and Iceland. So it's good to have that mindset of being open to hearing their feedback, but also giving your feedback and then coming to kind of a consensus.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing too. I think for any person who's wanting to dive into management and, you know, once you get your client and once you're kind of in that pit with them as you're figuring out, you know, like, where do we go? What's the next step? Like, where do we see their career in 5 and 10 years? I think overall, reminding yourself that, like, you know, there's things, yes, to compromise on, but there's also difficulty, right? Like, if a client is also very difficult, I've had, you know, experiences in the past where, you know, it's we're fighting every step of the way and they're not seeing my perspective and it makes it hard for me and for everybody else involved.
Yeah.
Then that's not worth it, right? Then it's having that conversation of, hey, like, I just don't think we gel. And that's totally okay. I want you to succeed, but maybe I'm not the person for that. So it's always that balance where you're always figuring something out. Like, I think there's things that textbooks just don't prepare you for in management.
Yeah.
That you're really having to kind of figure it out with each situation. It's so funny because I talked to some of my friends that are also managers that have been doing this way longer than I have. And, you know, some of them are like, oh, I haven't dealt with that, actually. That's a unique one. And it teaches you that, like, you're going to be learning throughout this career all the time. I don't even know everything. Like,
yeah,
I think anybody who thinks they know everything in management, I'm like, bullshit. You don't. Like, our industry is constantly changing. So, you know, it's one of those things where I've learned that there's no rules. Like, you can really go into this and make it what you want it to be.
Sure.
Yeah.
And being an entrepreneur and having your own business, what do you think are like some lessons that you've learned along the way versus maybe working at like a music management company, like the C3, Red Light, Crush Music, et cetera?
Yeah, this is a conversation I think I've had a lot. When I was in my first year management, I think I was having a lot of imposter syndrome. I was doubting myself. And then I think what was hard is you see the politics and you see it feels like high school. And I always talk about this. The music industry is high school a little bit. You know, people are comfortable. I think when you're with a management company, you get these built-in connections. You're kind of under an umbrella, right? So you get kind of, that's the beautiful thing when you go with a, you know, established management company. You get the, you know, road paved for you a little bit halfway. Building it from the ground up is very difficult, but I knew the risk involved. And the reason why I decided to do that was at the time I was looking into just like, oh, is there any women owned, you know, management companies? Sure. Like, would I want to work for like a full woman team? And I was shocked to see that only 5% of management companies are owned by women. And that propelled me to want to do my own thing. And I was like, love men, but respectfully, like, this is a boy industry. It's a boys club to some extent. And there are some amazing men out there. So I do want to say there have been amazing individuals that are male that have helped me along my career. But at the end of the day, I was kind of in this space where I'm like, I want to make some headway as a female. Sure. I want to move up the ladder. I want to be in a position where I can empower my artists and do the things I want to do. And so I think for me, running a business prior to management, there was a little bit of a skill set that I had, right? Like I went into it knowing how I wanted to do my business model, knowing how I wanted to set it up. And I feel like, you know, that's the best part of having your own company is you get to make your own rules. You get to kind of tackle it the way you want, make the decisions you want to do without having to run it through, you know, multiple people. But it does come with the challenges of you are now responsible for like business development. You are responsible for making connections and relationships from the ground up. And that's probably what consumed me in my 2 years of management was building relationships. It was kind of like this space. And I think for anybody who's going into management is to remember that it's okay. Give yourself grace. The first 2 years, you're going to be building relationships and people are going to try to certify you. How I talk about the 2 years of management when you're starting from the ground up, if you're not going into a management company, it's like high school, right? You're the new kid at the school. You're coming in. People are like, who is this person? Are they cool? Are they lame? Like people are going to fill you out to see if you actually know what you're doing. Sure. And that's a lot of the music industry when you're on your own. You're having to kind of get everybody's approval and sign off on you that you're okay to like be around and connect to other people. So yeah, it's such a black and white difference. But you know what? If you're an entrepreneur and you are okay with rejection, you're okay with judgment, then you know what? Do it. I'm like, it's not gonna be easy, but you know what? That's the beauty in it. Like you get to build something for yourself. And if it's successful, no one's taking a major percentage of what you brought in. So
yeah, that's true.
It's a high risk, high reward kind of situation.
Definitely high risk, high reward. And as you mentioned, that's a really good analogy, kind of comparing it to high school. You kind of need to test the water with people, need to build those relationships, but also at the same time need to get that, I guess we can veer towards like Instagram, need to get that verified check button from people.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's not always fun. And I think that's always been my frustration with the music industry is, you know, I remember meeting so many people for coffee and I met amazing individuals. And then I would meet people that I'm like, you don't even know what you're effing talking about. Like,
yeah,
gosh, but you know what? That would give me confidence. Cause I'm like, if this person can do it and they don't even know what they're doing, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be okay. And so
it gives you more hope and inspiration to plunge into it.
100%. And I think, you know, it really is like going back to the basics as a manager of like, do you love music? Yes. Do you believe in this artist 100%? Yes. Okay. Are you willing to do what you got to do? If that's, you know, cold emailing, cold calling, are you willing to do that? Yes. Okay. Then, you know, you got half the battle done. You're good. Mm-hmm. You're going to make it happen. Yeah. I think it's, you know, you just got to make that drive work for you. Sure. And I don't know. It's, I do believe it's a time thing. Like, it's like it's, success isn't always going to happen overnight. And that doesn't mean you're a bad manager. It's this industry takes a while. And I think we confuse ourselves because we see so much on social, other people like posting articles that they're doing this or like, oh, my artist had this success and that's awesome. And sometimes that happens, but that's not the normal. That's like not normal, especially if you're, you know, independent, you know, a lot of it comes from money and being able to push things.
We know the three majors.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely an evolution process. It takes timing. Timing is key with all of it. And I guess as we wrap our episode up, I have a couple last questions. I guess, do you have any personal or professional goals when it comes to your business or just personally or just even for your clients?
I want my clients to feel established. And what I mean by that is I get a lot of satisfaction seeing my artists thrive. And I think this is, you know, some people might think this is wrong and that's totally fine, but this is my own theology with it. As an artist, you're a product. Like, yes, like artistry matters. There needs to be something that has meaning and connection to draw people in and want to listen. As we see in Taylor Swift, like she does that really well, drawing people into a story. But like at the end of the day, yes, she's a brand, she's a product. And I think like bringing on artists that know who they are, I am very passionate about letting my artists understand who they are and help them understand their branding so they can get to a place where they can make income, especially as an independent artist. Like I know, you know, we're not going the label route for reasons. And so for me, I personally am in a place where it's like, how do we make you a thriving business as yourself, as an artist? How do we make income come in? And I think for me, we've done that in creative ways, thinking outside the box, and they need to push back and rethink about it. And how I, the analogy I always tell my clients is like, you're a product and you're on a shelf. If I'm walking by you, can I tell in 3 seconds who you are, what you do, like what you offer? So basically, what kind of artist are you? What genre are you in? What should I expect if I look at your branding? And I think like that's important to know, because then you're going to shape everything around it, right? You're going to find purpose. You know, for example, my artist, Zealand, she's so talented. We were working together, and I remember she brought this idea to me, and she did it previously before the pandemic, before it briefly got, you know, chopped off, because we, you know, the pandemic kind of put a squash on all live events. But she was telling me, you know, I'm so frustrated, you know, that I don't get invited to these Grammy events or so forth. And I remember just talking to her of like these frustrations she, you know, has felt in her 10 years of being in the industry, and just how you feel so left out as a woman, but also how you're put up against each other. And she's like, I just don't like that. And I was like, well, why don't we tap into this? Why don't we figure out like how to make this mean something? Like, how do we provide a solution? What feels good to you? And for her, she's been doing this her whole career, is connecting with women in music. And so we started a nonprofit together called Push Up Raleigh. She founded it, but we kind of made it a 501c3. And what I loved about it is, in her brand, if I think about it from that perspective, you know, she's an indie artist. She does alternative, but also like she supports women, and she gives them a place to feel wanted and respected and honored. Yeah. And it's been really cool to see her brand have meaning and have purpose. And I think that's something that draws people also to her music. You'll see that in her writing. Yeah. But overall, it's like having artists think about their music, not just in like a parallel way, but seeing how it can kind of, you can bring other things into it to make it more of like an established product, an established brand, to bring in money, to bring in revenue, not just through streaming or, you know, other facets that we know you can bring some money in. But yeah, so I've just been kind of thinking about that. And that's kind of like where I hope we can continue to get to, is, you know, having money come in a way where it's consistent, and just having my artists not feel the burden of being an independent artist. And I think like if we can get everybody in a place where they don't need labels, I think that can really shift the industry in a powerful way. I mean, they're banks at this point. So I think overall, it's like, how do you form your team outside of that? And thinking untraditionally about the way you approach music, I think it's like, you do got to approach it as a startup. And that's kind of how we're doing it at Glue Management. You know, we really take everything in that they love and they're passionate about, not just music, but we try to make it all blend and make sense to really form a ship that can operate on its own.
No, it's great that you think of these outside of the box ideas rather than kind of the traditional, what normal managers would do, obviously turn to the labels, turn to the distributors, turn to like all these deal making banks, so to speak. Yep. Great to have that mindset going forward. I guess any parting words, last pointers, who want to be in your shoes, any tips, tricks, or anything?
Yeah, I think like overall, what I would have loved someone to tell me when I first started in management is there's no rules. Yeah, there's a standard, but you know, it's ever shifting. And like, you can be that next person that, you know, is radical and changes the game in the music industry, and where people are now looking at you as the expert. So go into it being okay to fail, go into it willing to learn as much as you can, and think outside the box, bring new ideas to the industry. We need it. And also remember that there's enough room at the table. And if anybody makes you feel like there isn't, then fuck them. And and you got this.
Way of looking at it.
It's a good way to look at it. Yeah, there's enough seat at the table, and we need new people. We need new fresh ideas and minds. And I'm really excited to see this next generation of, you know, managers, of what they're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. And how they're going to be operating throughout the music industry. So I'm stoked. And I'm happy to just be an extra resource for whoever is looking to get into management.
Thank you for the great advice, Natalie. Wishing you great success personally and professionally with your roster at Glue Management, and looking forward to seeing more that you contribute to this pioneer and entrepreneurial spirit within the music industry.
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting me. I hope that was all helpful and entertaining to some extent. So thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Media Industry Guru podcast. Check out the Instagram at Media Industry Guru for all the details on the latest and coolest, I mean coolest, upcoming episodes that you will hear. Email at mediaindustrygurupodcast@gmail.com for any other interviews that you would like to hear, or if you would like to be on the air and give a little promo or talk about yourself, or just even chat with me, because you know I'm doing this, I'm invested in this. And tune in weekly, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Tuesdays on the Anchor app, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Breaker, and many more streaming platforms. Thanks again for all of the support, and peace out, and let's rock and roll.